Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole world was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained them from, will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and they may, that they may not understand one another's speech. Who in here has myopia? I know one for sure that has myopia.
That's it.
She's got myopia. Who in here is nearsighted? You have myopia. Now, not to pick on you, but you can't see afar off. You can see up here, but you can't see way out there very good. Now, I'm just the opposite. Of course, it's getting towards bad anyway. I can see out there fairly good, but right here, I got serious issues. We won't discuss that because it ain't about me. It's about you. It's an eye problem. It's nearsighted. It's just a fancy word for it. Now, it can be very crippling in that you can't see out there. It makes it hard to drive, things of that nature. There's a lot of different people in the Scriptures that we could give as examples of those that had this problem. Now, here's where I want to get to. They saw only themselves, no one else. That's why I said I'm not picking on you guys that are nearsighted. In other words, it's an example of what's a matter with the majority of the world, what's a matter with a lot of our youth today, is they don't see everybody else, they see themselves. And a lot of people, like I said, in the Word of God, they didn't see. Let's use King David, for example. King David was a good example of that at one time in his life. King David could not see afar off. He left his armor off, hung around the house, and all he saw was what he wanted. You see, he wasn't looking at everybody else. He should have been out to battle. He should have been out doing what kings do, which was battle, and instead of hanging out there, and by the way, it got him in a lot of trouble. Now, the one example that we gave tonight is in Genesis 11. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. They all had one language and of one speech. And what did they do? They did not look to God. They didn't look to God for direction or guidance. And by the way, it hadn't been long before that God had already told them what to do. They looked to themselves because that's all they could see. They had myopia. All they could see was themselves. We need to be careful with that. Because if we're not careful, we can get to that point. I tell these kids all the time, I won't pick on just the two, Jessica, Anaya, Kaylani, and Aiden. Well, I don't know if I can add Aiden in that or not. Aiden's just, he's Aiden. I don't know what else. Bless his heart. The three girls, for sure, They have a real problem with all they can see is themselves. And I harp on them all the time. I tell them, I say, listen, you need to look for more out there. It's not about you. See, that's a lot of adults' problem, not just you guys, but that's a lot of adults' problem is they get up in the morning and it's all about them. They've got to do this and they've got to do that, and we've got this lined out, and I've got all of this lined out, and oh, I'm going to have me a good retirement, and I'm going to live here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm, it's all about I. That's what we saw in this passage we read. Let us go do this. Let us make a name for ourselves. Me, myself, and I. They have that issue. They're really and truly, their vision was nearsighted. And it was based on what they could accomplish. Not what God was wanting out of them. It was what they could accomplish. As I was just talking about how we're gonna work for our retirement. Listen, God expects us to be sensible. But that should never come before God. See, that's the problem. It wasn't a real issue really that they were building a tower. That wasn't an issue really at all. It wasn't an issue that they were working together. That's a good thing. Teamwork is a good thing. Matter of fact, the Lord teaches teamwork. He used His apostles. He sent them out two by two. Why not just one? He sent them out two by two. It's teamwork. And you can help each other. When you're both together, you can help each other. If I get sick, my wife knows I am a big baby. And it takes her to keep me going. Otherwise, I'd have died so many times. And it was kind of odd for us to get sick at the same time. She was like a day behind me when we got the China virus. I could tell her, now tomorrow this is going to happen. And sure enough, it just clockwork, man. It did boom, boom, boom. But we were both sick at the same time. So we were having to kind of help each other along. but it really wasn't about all that. What it was about is everything they were doing, they left God out of it. See, as we go through our lives and working on retirement, or we're working on whatever it may be, we can't leave God out of it. God's got to be first in it, and then everything else underneath that. We're building the church, building wagon wheel. That's the idea, to see people saved, to see people come in. Like this morning, we had, eight visitors. That was a good thing. But we can't put them before God. We start putting them before God, we're going to have a real problem. We start putting the building before God, we're going to have a real problem. We want to build and got plans to. Our little shed we got that don't have a top. We're going to be working on that here in about a week or so. But it can't come before God. That can't be more important than God. And that was their issue, is what they were doing. They were putting, their goal had become them. It was to build this tower, and they had the wrong attitude to reach heaven. You know, I can't remember who owned it. Some house the other day sold for a ridiculous amount. It was millions. And I'm like, there ain't a house on the face of this earth worth that kind of money. But that's what people do. They want to put everything into that, which, by the way, in the book of Peter, it says it's going to all burn up anyway. These churches, there's churches here on this world. The stuff they have in there is just unreal. You ever been to the Mormon temple in Salt Lake? I have. I've been up there. I've seen pictures of the inside. The money they got in that place, it's going to all burn up. It's going to Gone. The Catholic churches. You can go to some of the poorest places in the world, but that church, oh wow. It got enough money in there to bring out countries out of poverty. Listen, if they sold all the Catholic churches in America, they could take us out of debt. It's going to all burn up. We better be putting the Lord first. You see, their purpose was themselves. It was to make a name for themselves. Now, really, my hope and prayer is that for us, don't let the everyday life hinder you. Because it can. Satan will use it to hinder your growth in the Lord. Amen. He'll stop us from growing in the Lord by getting us entangled. My favorite word in the whole wide world, other than why, is drama. Drama. Drama engulfs so many people. It amazes me how bad drama really affects people. And I believe Satan uses that, because what happens is we get so caught up in the drama that we forget all about our Lord and Savior. We forget all about who to turn to and say, hey, I got a problem. Can I get some help here? Instead, we want to get involved in the drama. When really we need to back up and say, I don't need the drama, I got enough. And get on our knees to an almighty God and say, hey, you see all the drama? I need you to take care of that for me. Do you think he will? I mean, seriously, do you really think he'd take care of your drama for you? Good grief. I believe he would, Pastor. I really do. But I just got to get on my knees and ask.
Amen.
Listen. If we would take the time to... Who in here doesn't have some drama in their family? That's a good answer. Don't you raise that hand. I know your family. We all of us, our families have got drama. I'm amazed at the little bitty kids that have drama in their life. I'm like, why? You ought to be playing with matchbox cars or Barbie dolls or something. Instead of worrying about all the drama going on. But you know what? A lot of it is thrown in their face. That's sad. It really is. It's sad that there. When I was 10 years old, somebody had told me, drama. I'd have been like, huh? I don't watch Broadway. I mean, that's what I'd have thought. It must be some kind of acting or something. I had no idea what the word drama. I didn't know what problems were, except when I lied to my dad or if I went down to the creek and I wasn't supposed to. And I was hoping I'd dry out before he got home. Because if I didn't, that was the drama in my life. I'd sit on the pavement in the sunshine because it's like, oh, and worst thing ever done, buy me a watch. Because I knew that he got off at 3:30 and he was home at 3:45. And it was like, come on, dry. Because I didn't want to tell him I'd been to the creek because I know what was going to happen. That was the drama I had. You see, our prayers really ought to be that we wouldn't be hindered by our everyday living. That really and truly that our nearsightedness wouldn't affect us. That we'd turn it over to the Lord. Because honestly, that's what we need to do. We need to give those problems to the Lord. Now, for those of you that's farsighted... No, I'm kidding. You see, because if we're not turning it over to the Lord, here's the sad part. We're thinking of ourselves. Because, listen, if we don't turn it over to the Lord, guess who we're affecting? The very ones that are causing me problems. Because what I ought to be doing is praying for them and saying, Lord, help them with their situation.
But keep meeting, getting all bent out of shape over it.
And by the way, it works. Tell them the Lord said hi. And it works. When we start giving it to the Lord, it works. We start seeing things change.
Amen.
And it's confusing to them, but it's not to me, because I'm sitting back thinking, I've been praying for you. That's why it's the way it is. It's funny, because they wouldn't have understood if you told them. But we got to make sure that we're doing that. You see, we got to make sure that we would focus upon Christ and be doing for Him what would bring Him glory.
Amen.
Dwelling on drama and getting wrapped up in problems in this life and focusing solely on yourself ain't bringing the Lord glory. It's not. It's not bringing the Lord any glory. Now, I know that each of us have family issues that hurt. Man, it gets in here and it really does hurt your heart. But when we don't focus on the Lord, guess whose heart is hurting? His. It grieves Him. Because He wants to help us. I had a fellow I know, he's a preacher, big guy. Hollers and screams and runs around. He's quite the character when he preaches. He preached a sermon on Moses and the little basket his mom made him. And she took that thing and when he was just a little thing, and she took it and she patted it all down and made it, because she didn't want the crocodiles eating him. Because they had to put all their babies in the Nile River. That was Pharaoh's order. And she made him this little basket so it'd float, little ark. And she put him in it. And I'd imagine it was pretty comfortable so he wouldn't make any racket. And she set that thing to sail, and it ended up with Pharaoh's daughter. And we all know the man is Moses. But you see, what she did is she took all of her problems. Because he was a problem. He was going to get her in big trouble, not to mention she was trying to save his life. And she put it all in that little ark she made, and she shoved it out in the water. And she had to say, "It's yours, Lord." Wow, when he preached that night in that little town where I was at in Kentucky, I was like, wow. And he told us, he said, listen. He said, in your mind, build you that little ark. He said, make sure you dive it real good with mud and make sure it's soft inside. And he said, put all your problems in there. Put all your children in there. Put your spouse in there. Put your money issues in there. Put all of everything that's burdening you, put it in there and shove it out in the Nile River and say, okay, God, it's all up to you now.
Amen.
We'd be a whole lot better off if we do that instead of focusing on us.
Amen.
So even if you got myopia, do that. Put it all in that basket and give it to the Lord. You'd be surprised what the Lord can do with it.
Amen.
Because I'll just be up front with you. When I try to work out issues, I usually make them about four times worse. And then the Lord said, I see what I got to do now? We could have ended this quickly. But you messed it all up. So we need to give it all to the Lord. Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation.